Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to do some sobbing, hear some echoes, have a hotter-than-hot segment, and celebrate some birthdays. Sometimes, while preparing playlists for the show, I'll come across a song title that just lends itself to a segment topic. Such was the case this week, so here for no particular reason is a set of rapidly rotating records about sobbing, beginning with Tiny Parham and his musicians.
Thank you. Thank you.
Eddie Lang on guitar, accompanied there by Frank Signorelli on piano and Justin Ring on chimes, and Church Street Sobbin' Blues from an OK 78 wax November 5th, 1928. Before that, you heard Eddie Lang again, this time as part of We Three, which was actually four, the three being Red Nichols on trumpet, Arthur Schott on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. That was Trumpet Sobs, recorded around March 24, 1926 by Pathé. Trumpet Sobs was composed by Red Nichols and was preceded by Ted Lewis. You're welcome, Bob. With Sobbin' Blues, sadly with no Ted Lewis vocal, from April 24, 1930. Sobbin' Blues was written in 1922 by Art Castle and Vic Burton. Yeah, the Vic Burton we just heard on drums as part of We Three. Vic Burton was born Victor Cohen in 1898 and was playing drums in a Milwaukee pit orchestra at age 7. By 16, he was playing with the Milwaukee and Chicago Symphony Orchestras. At 16, I was a boxboy at a grocery store. We began that Sobbin' set with Tiny Parham and his musicians and Subway Sobs, recorded by Victor in Chicago on February 2, 1929. Hartzell Strathdean Parham was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada on February 25, 1900. He was anything but tiny, reportedly weighing in the 20s at over 600 pounds. Now what I want to know is, why is every single person with the nickname Tiny not Tiny, but every single person with the nickname Slim is Slim? I'm the neither slim nor tiny Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. This next segment, again for no particular reason, is about echoes. Here's Ted Fiorito and his orchestra. Thank you.
church bells are ringing, mellow and clear. I feel so lonely, neath stars above, listening to one thing, the one thing I love. Just an echo, yoo-hoo, in the valley, yoo-hoo, but it brings back sweet memories of you. Can't you hear it, yoo-hoo, through the twilight, yoo-hoo, when it answered, I love you, I do. How I wish we were here, just like we used to be. For since you have gone, there's nothing left for me. Just an echo, yoo-hoo, in the valley, yoo-hoo, but it brings back sweet memories of you.
Thank you.
Anthony Parenti's Famous Melody Boys, recording in New Orleans on January 22, 1925, and Cabaret Echoes, written by Anthony Parenti. Anthony Tony Parenti was born in 1900 into a musical family and early on learned to play a number of different reed instruments. He first started playing with Johnny DeDroit's Jazz Orchestra and at the time of this recording was leading his own band at La Vida Restaurant in New Orleans. Before the raucous echoes of a New Orleans cabaret, we had soft, sweet woodland echoes by the Neapolitan Trio. The Neapolitan Trio consisted of Howard Rattay, violin, Clement Barone, flute, and harpist Francis J. Lapatino. Their first recordings were in 1911 as the Instrumental Trio, but they were known as the Neapolitan Trio after January 1, 1912. This recording was from November 28, 1913, but they had also recorded Woodland Echoes on September 29th of the same year. Before the Neapolitan Trio, it was Rudy Valley on December 12, 1932, with Just an Echo in the Valley, written by James Campbell, Reginald Connolly, and Harry M. Woods. We began that echo set with Ted Fiorito and his orchestra, who had recorded Just an Echo in the Valley the month before Valley, and Echoes of the South from February 19, 1937. You heard bits of Old Folks at Home, Carry Me Back to Old Virginny, Deep River, Arkansas Traveler, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, and Camptown Races.
Have a particular song or artist you'd like to hear on Rapidly Rotating Records? Well, you can send your requests and your comments about the show by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or send cards or letters to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711.
The song A Girlfriend of a Boyfriend of Mine was written by Walter Donaldson and Gus Kahn and is sung in the 1930 picture Whoopee by Eddie Cantor. It was also recorded by Ted Weems, Ambrose, The Captivators, directed by Red Nichols, Billy Cotton, Stan Greening, DeBroy Summers, Nat Starr, and others, but nobody played it like Jack Coakley and his orchestra, who, with thanks to listener Bob for suggesting it, are going to start off this Hotter Than Hot segment.
Now then, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm spent. Charles Kreese, Jazzomaniacs, recording for an OK Field unit in St. Louis on May 2, 1927, in Crazy Quilt, written by Paul Van Lone and Andrew Sterling. Trumpeter Charlie Kreese was born in 1890 and besides trumpet also played saxophone and accordion. His was a territory band playing locally on the Mississippi River boats. In 1940 he did head north and played with various groups in Chicago until his death in 1951. Before Charlie Kreese, it was Earl Hines and his orchestra, with Earl performing triple duty on piano, leading the band, and providing the vocal on Everybody Loves My Baby, from February 13, 1929. That was preceded by the Casa Loma Orchestra with the Casa Loma Stomp, from February 17, 1933. And we began that Hotter Than Hot set with a rendition at breakneck speed of A Girlfriend of a Boyfriend of Mine. That was Jack Coakley and his orchestra, a West Coast band who played at venues with such interesting names as the Saddle Rock Cafe, the Cabiria Cafe, Club Moderne, Topsy's Roost, Sweet's Ballroom, and Tate's at the Beach, originally a San Francisco mansion built in the 1850s by attorney Bella Brooks and known as Brooks Folly. Later it became known as the Oceanside House and the House of Mystery. Restaurateur John Tate bought the house in 1919 and turned it into what was described as the place to go for socialites and celebrities, and those who enjoyed mingling with same. Prohibition forced its closure in 1931, and after a brief iteration as the Edgewater Beach Club, it burned to the ground in 1940. Jack Coakley was born in Connecticut in 1906 and moved to Oakland in 1918. He started his own band at about age 16 and eventually gave up his job at the Sacramento Northern Railroad in favor of a career in music. That record doesn't have the highest fidelity, mainly because it's a Flexo, flexible record. Flexo records were the product of Jesse J. Warner, who started manufacturing them in Kansas City in 1925. In 1929, Warner moved to San Francisco and formed the Pacific Coast Record Company, with him as recording engineer and Jack Coakley as musical director. Flexo records came in all sorts of speeds, sizes, colors, and some even played from the inside out. A Flexo catalog described them as unbreakable and everlasting, and having been put through the most trying and extraordinary tests, they've been thrown in the streets, run over by automobiles and trucks for hours at a time, they've been laid out under the burning rays of the hot summer sun, without materially affecting their rendition quality. I'm not sure about my rendition quality, but I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL, FM 88.7 Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network, 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, shamrockradio.com, and as a podcast on iTunes. Lots of vintage artists and composers had birthdays this past week, and we'll highlight as many as we can in this final segment of the show. Here's the Cameo Dance Orchestra. Thank you.
rocked in the cradle of Dixieland. My mammy sang to me. I could sit right down and cry when I think of days gone by. Play me a Dixie melody like those I heard on Mammy's knee. Sing me at evening close something about a rose. I love that old familiar rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, my honey baby. I can't forget that melody. Deep in my heart will ever be. New melodies tease me, but if you wanna please me, play me a Dixie melody. White cotton fields in the moonlight fair ring back a melody. Songs my old mammy dear sang me there, the best of all to me. Seems to me I'm there again when I hear a Dixie strain. Play me a Dixie melody. Jazz it in the middle on your ragged fiddle like those I heard on Mammy's knee. Round the cabin door, rolling on the floor, sing me at evening close something about a rose. I love that old familiar rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, my honey baby. I can't forget that melody. Down on the Swanee River, it surely makes me shiver. Deep in my heart will ever be. I'll soon be going home, from there I'll never roam. New melodies tease me, but if you wanna please me, play me a Dixie melody. That melody down on the Swanee River, it surely makes me shiver. Deep in my heart will ever be. You'll soon be going home, from there I'll never roam. New melodies tease me, but if you wanna please me, play me a Dixie melody. Thank you.
We begin this final segment of the show with the Cameo Dance Orchestra and Remembering from 1923. Remembering, with an apostrophe after the B, was recorded by lots of bands in 1923, including the Ambassadors, the California Ramblers, Nathan Glantz, Joe Raymond, and Joseph Samuels. All were instrumentals except one by the Vagabonds, with the vocal by Louis James. I played Remembering because it was written by the Duncan sisters, and Rosetta Duncan, remembered for her recording of I Got a Coded by Doze, was born November 23rd in 1900. Next, it was Al Bernard, also born on November 23rd, but in 1888. Al was known as the Boy from Dixie, and we heard him there on an Edison disc with Play Me a Dixie Melody. That was recorded the day before Al's 32nd birthday. Fred Rose composed the music, and Harold G. Frost wrote the words. Next, it was Willie the Lion Smith and his Cubs with Harlem Joys from April 23rd, 1935. The Cubs were Ed Allen on cornet, Cecil Scott on clarinet, and Willie Williams on washboard. Jazz pianist Willie the Lion Smith was born November 25th, 1897, in Goshen, New York. And we finished up with V. Lawnhurst and Muriel Pollock and their piano duet, Finesse, from a Decca 78 waxed August 9th, 1934. Finesse was written by Bernard Maltin and Ray Dahl. Child prodigy V. Lawnhurst was born Loa Lorenhertz, and in addition to her musical talent, she could also write upside down and backwards, was an award-winning ice skater, and at the age of 10 was a published poet. It's people like that who make you realize how little you've accomplished. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.